trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of Remnant Call. And I'm excited here tonight. And Benjamin and I realized we've been talking outside of the program. We needed to turn on the recorder. So I'm just going to bring Benjamin in with us. And brother, are you there with me?
Hey, Frank. I hope I am.
Amen. Could you just pray for a second? Let's get this thing going.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Father God, we just turn to you. Father, first of all, we bless you this day. We thank you this day. We rejoice. We come with thanksgiving in our hands, in our hearts, on our lips. Lord, we come with praise, and we come with an offering, Lord. Come with our lives as a living sacrifice. And we rejoice that Jesus would be lifted up in our lives, even as, Father, you intend to lift up the name of Jesus before all of creation. All of the kings will cast their crowns to the ground. All of creation will bow. The mountains themselves will fold and bow before the mighty eternal one, the Ancient of Days, our beloved friend, our faithful Lord, our Savior, our King. Lord Jesus, we dedicate this time to you that your saints would be equipped and instructed in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, folks, we're jumping in here because I was just sharing with Benjamin some real revelation I've gotten in my own walk lately. And we were discussing how, Benjamin, you know, I've known you since 1999. And through the years, I've followed Benjamin. And I would talk to him sometimes in the early years. Maybe we go a year or two and hadn't talked, but we always kept in contact. I always knew where he was at, because I couldn't stand hardly listening to some of the other voices I would hear out there, because it would just be such nonsense. So Benjamin would be my breath of fresh air. But I was sharing how I probably know Benjamin's teachings better than, you know, most people out there, because I've been friends with him for so long and listening. And but this is the revelation that I've had lately, folks. And you're going to find in your own life that we're all have some bad theology. You know, we strive for the truth, but there's just things that are embedded in. And as God grows us, you know, we learn new things. But lately, through some of your more recent broadcasts, Benjamin, I've really come to this conclusion that it's not just going to survive the tribulation. And I think that's the wrong attitude that so many people think. It's the tribulation. It's so terrible. And yes, it is terrible if you don't know the Lord. But the truth is, God has a mission for the remnant during that time. And it's been Isaiah 60 that just has really jumped out. And brother, I know you've talked about this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. So we're talking about a time when darkness is going to be all over, in gross darkness. Now that puts it right at the very end. We know that term throughout the Bible, the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light and to thy brightness. And then it talks about your daughters and your sons and all that, which is exactly the fulfillment in Ezekiel, when it talks about when all four sort of God's judgments happen at the same time, that we'll see deliverance. Folks, what I'm trying to say is that during the tribulation, God's going to be using his people in missionary work to do things that we know. It's not about cowering in some underground bunker with your 5,000 cans of tuna, okay, or your 400 tubes of toothpaste. Okay, because your teeth, they'll be clean. The Lord can take care of that. If I remember right, he caused their shoes to not wear out on them. We forget that often, don't we, in Egypt, brother? He caused their shoes and clothes not to wear out on them. God's got a mission, brother. And I wanted to share this because it's really been a game changer lately, because I've known it, but it's finally hit reality, brother.
Awesome.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, bless the Lord. Yeah, we've got good days ahead, brother. I mean, sure, it's going to be a challenge, yeah. And him who overcomes the crown,
Amen.
the reward, the blessings from eternity. You know, and we all want to do a good job for Jesus because he sure did a good job for us.
Amen.
We owe the Lord. Praise God. Well, this is exciting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to today's message. I would say maybe a week ago, I was pruning my fruit trees, just prune, 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 and cutting down branches that were diseased on some of my ornamental trees. And I'd stoked up a big fire and I'm burning all the fruitless branches and I'm pouring out all these leaves and you know. All the branches are being bundled and burned in the fire. And I thought, wow, this is, I should take a video of this and we could post it on Remnant Call because this is what God's about to be doing. He's going to be cutting off the fruitless branches. They're going to be gathered up and burned in the fire. And I mean, it is coming. We are there. And as I'm burning these branches, I'm just thinking, wow, this is exactly what God's doing and about to be doing in a huge way. The Lord's going to be pruning. And for those who are fruitful, he's going to be pruning in our lives as well, that we would bear even more fruit. You know, and the process of pruning is not fun, obviously, and we've all been there, but it's good. And so, you know, our lives are in the faithful hands of our Father. Underneath us are the everlasting arms, and we have inherited the sure salvation of David. We have the sure mercies of David. So praise God. And as I'm burning all these dead and diseased branches, in my spirit, I heard, I want to teach, I want to speak, I have a message that I want you to pray through. And it's an emergency action message, an EAM. And I want you to pray it through. And now, an emergency action message, those of you who are in the military, we're in the military, you know, maybe you're familiar with the term. That's the highest priority communication that can occur between the central command and the military forces that are in the field. And it is not reserved for, you know, it's not used for normal communications. An emergency action message is extremely serious. It requires extreme diligence. It is to be executed immediately. When an EAM comes in, the red lights are flashing, everybody stops what they're doing, the orders are read, and they are immediately implemented. And so I would ask you, you know, guys in the listening audience, gals, brothers, sisters, be in prayer that the entire message would come through. Because right now the enemy's still trying to block things. You know, Satan's about, he's about to be cast down from the second heaven. He's going to be thrown down to the earth, just like the mortals. No more blocking the second heaven. It'll be wide open after his eviction, and that's going to happen relatively shortly. We
Benjamin, I would love to say one thing about the EAM because I've been a part of it. I was at a field comm, folks. One thing that was always said when comm was hot in the field, there was always the first thing we would say is break. Break, meaning stop. Need to pass emergency traffic. That means stop what you're doing and halt all chatter right now. So I would say this is a break program.
Amen, brother. And this
Amen.
is just the first part. The Lord made it very clear. He wanted me to pray this through, and he wanted me to ask you to pray with me that we get the full message from heaven. But today, the title of this message is This is the Way. Walk therein. And as the Lord was giving me this message, praise God. And I'm going through the scriptures that were revealed by the Holy Spirit. I was having a hard time seeing because my eyes were wet. I couldn't stop. I have this wet eyes affliction. I couldn't stop them from just dripping. And it was pouring rain. But this message today is this is the way. Walk therein. And this is the beginning, folks, of a series of emergency action messages from the Lord. And you know, now you don't take anything for granted. You guys know that's a felony in the kingdom. Never presume anything. Test all things. And I don't care who said them. I don't care how right on they were last week or right off they were. Doesn't matter. You receive a message from the Lord, the very first thing you do is you pray for confirmation before you receive it. But we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. And you guys want to open your Bibles? Open to Job chapter 8, verse 5. And the Lord is going to show us the way home. And he's telling us, this is the way. And I want you to walk therein. And this is serious. I mean, you're going to be changing your life after this program is over tonight. If thou would seek God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if you would turn your heart to seek the Lord. And that word for betimes, I mean, that's really old English. The Hebrew is shachar, and it literally means the dawn. To rise early and to complete a task before the sun has broken through the horizon, and to complete it with all earnestness. To search for something with painstaking effort, to inquire early. To rise and seek the Lord diligently before the morning comes. To look diligently for the dawn and to seek him with the discipline of one who has bridled their flesh. You know, the creation arises early looking for their food in the natural. All of God's creatures are seeking food in the early morning, even before the light of day begins. Creation seeks its food. And the people of this world, they seek their food of the flesh. But for the children of God, we need to be seeking the living manna and the living water. And we need to be the righteous ones who are seeking God earnestly for wisdom for the day. Now, the Lord speaks in Hosea chapter 6 that we shall know the Lord if we follow on to know him. We have to continue. You can't just start. You have to finish. You have to follow on to know the Lord, for his going forth is prepared as the morning. And, you know, the morning is really the middle part of the day, right? Because we know in the book of Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. And so, you know, in the biblical calendar, as the sun is setting, twilight is coming, we're entering the new day. And it begins with twilight and a time of growing darkness. And that's a picture of the world in which we were born. We start out in darkness. But if we have wisdom, we will arise early to seek the Lord who is going to come forth. Like the morning sun. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And that's the midpoint where he breaks through. And, you know, isn't it interesting how the calendar is divided into a civil or a secular calendar with Rosh Hashanah, the season of fall, and then the spiritual calendar with the high holy days of Nisan and the Passover, first fruit. And so, the civil calendar, the secular calendar, really represents the night. It begins in the early season of fall, and that represents the time of twilight. And then the calendar just goes into winter, the time of darkness, the time of death, the time when all things die. And then the spiritual calendar begins in the first light of spring, when the light returns, new life begins. And so the High holy days begin. God's calling his people to a new walk, a new commitment to the Lord, even as we are literally rushing towards the High holy days that will begin following the eclipse on April 9th. We're about days away, not even 3 weeks, and we'll be in the new spiritual year, the 70th Jubilee. It's time to sharpen swords. It's time to count the cost. It's time to weigh the commitment that you're willing to make. What price will you pay to change your destiny? What price will you pay to be an overcomer in this hour? What is it worth to you? What pleasure of Babylon would you be willing to give up to inherit all the things of the kingdom? That's the choice before us, brothers and sisters. God's calling us to rise early and set your alarm. I'm setting my alarm. I'm getting up early. And I'm going into prayer before the sun rises. I'm going to be there in the anointing, waiting for the Lord, who's about to go forth as the morning. And he's going to be looking upon the earth as he comes down, riding his cherubim, be looking for who is seeking him in the morning light. You want to be found among that remnant and make thy supplication to the Almighty. That word is panav, and it means to implore the compassion of God. As the Lord looks down from his high throne in heaven with kindness to those that are inferior to him, and we, for sure, that's us. But with kindness, he shows favor and he bestows mercy. And in this supplication, we're asking God to show us mercy and favor, to have pity upon us, to heal us spiritually, to heal us physically, to heal our families, as we are found waiting diligently, faithfully for him. So the Lord will respond. Job 8, verse 6, if you were pure and upright, if your heart and your soul and your mind was pure, if your heart was upright, surely he would awaken the dawn for you. And the Lord would make your habitation, make the habitation of righteousness prosperous. That word for pure is zach in Hebrew, and it means to be clear, to be clean, to be pure. It literally means to be unmixed, no mixture. Even as Jesus said himself, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Brothers and sisters, that's where we want to be. We want to be cleansed. We want to be made clean. We want to become pure so that there's no mixture, no compromise. None of the things that defile the church of the outer court are permitted into the holy place. And that's where you're going to meet the Lord. That's where he will appear to his anointed remnant. And we would be upright. And the word is yashar, to those who are pure and upright. And it means the straight and narrow way. A just man who is walking in righteousness, upright in his heart, in his mind, and in his will, in whom God is well pleased. If you are clean, and if you're pure, and if you have no mixture of Babylon in you, and if you're walking in uprightness, in the straight and the narrow way, with righteousness and uprightness in your heart, in your mind, and in your will, then God is well pleased with you, and he will surely awaken at the sound of your cry. And that word for awaken is ur in Hebrew, and it means the opening of the eyes, to awaken, to raise up, to stir yourself up with passion. And so that's the Lord's response. When his righteous saints cry out to him, the Lord rises. He stands up. He stirs himself with the passion and with the love that he has for his bride. And that's how heaven responds to the prayers of the remnant, the ones who are willing to pay the price and get up early and seek the Holy One first. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the things of Babylon, you know, turn on the internet, talk, you know, listen to the talking heads, you know, turn to the to the cacophony of fools, to all the lying voices. You know, should not the living turn to the living one? Why seek the truth among the dead? Our truth will be found in the courts of the Most High God, and we need to learn to seek the Lord first. First thing, every day is a first fruit offering of your time. Before you go off to your job, before you go off to whatever it is you do, whatever you do, that thing you do, before you do you, you go and seek your God. And I got news for you, brothers and sisters. I don't know how many of you guys are doing this, where you seek the Lord first. Some of you are, and you're the ones getting the victory, and others are not. And you're the ones that are struggling and have areas of defeat. And this issue, this is the way. Walk therein, the Lord said. This is the way to victory. This is the way to deliverance. This is the way for healing to come. This is the way to turn everything around. Even in this late hour, this is the way to change the outcome of your life. But we need to not just hear these words. You need to walk therein. Hallelujah. The Lord will lift himself up with passion. In Zechariah 2, verse 13, we read, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." It reminds me of what the Spirit of God spoke over 20 years ago. The Lord God Almighty is standing now, ready to judge the entire earth. And so the Lord is raised up. All flesh better be silent. We better silence our voices in the flesh too. If any man would speak in this hour, if any man would teach in this hour, let him be an infallible oracle. We need to silence that voice inside of us where we received so many things that weren't from God. Words that were spoken, a critical spirit, a spirit of unbelief, a spirit of death and doubt. These things were spoken to us, and we learned to repeat these words. Well, we need to take authority over that voice and command it to be silent, because it's not coming from the spirit of life. It's coming from the world. It's coming from, you know, the dark places of our past. And it is literally the voice of the lying spirits. We need to take authority over them, bind them, and cast them out. Hallelujah. Let the flesh be silent. Let the mind of the flesh be silenced. As you come before the Lord, before the morning light, quiet yourself. Your God is coming to save you. You do not have to save yourself. What we have to do is quiet ourselves. Calm yourself. Now, some people, that's harder than others, but turn some worship music on. Start to fast, you know, praise his name. Always enter his gates with thanksgiving. Always enter his courts with praise. Don't begin praying with petitions. Begin praying by thanking the Lord, by praising the Lord, by exalting his name. That will remind you of who it is we are being saved by, who it is that we're speaking to. And it will calm your heart. It'll bring your heart to peace. God, if you do these things, God will make your habitation, the life that you're living, he'll make your righteousness prosperous. And the word is shalom. It's very close to shalom, which is peace. But this actually, shalom means safety and to be completed, to give again, to make good on the words that were spoken to you. God is going to make good the promises that he gave to you. To repay what you've given to God, God is now going to prosper you by giving you back 10, 100, 1,000-fold, and to give you peace. And to make your way perfect. We were commanded to be perfect, brothers and sisters. He's told us, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's in your thoughts. That's in your words. That's in the meditation of your heart. That's in your deeds. That's in your attitude. It's your entire being must be perfected as God Almighty is perfect. This can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. The flesh can profit nothing. Only the Spirit gives life. Only the Spirit brings deliverance. And this prayer, first thing, is what brings the anointing into your life. And it changes your entire day. And if you begin to do this in a disciplined way, this is how the age of miracles began in my life. I began to pray with earnestness early in the morning. And the time of prayer just grew. The power of the Holy One grew. I can remember. I was in college at the time. I can remember thinking as I was getting off my classes and driving home and thinking, I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to get into the presence of the Lord again. That's what's awaiting you if you will simply hear and obey. And God is going to perform his good word towards us and make us prosperous in a time of desperation. He's going to also, this word prosperous means to restore to you that which was lost. Look, some of us have lost some things. I've lost a lot of things. Oh, everything, actually. Yeah, pretty much. Actually, several times. I wonder if I get everything back several times. Well, that would be probably double the fun. But God is going to restore to you, and he's going to restore to me everything. And his purpose is to console you, to give you many consolations. And the word consolation means to comfort a person who has suffered a loss. And the Lord knows. He knows how much you've suffered. He has taken notice, and it was not a small thing in God's eyes. I know. I was there with you, suffering. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I know, I know. And his tone of voice was so full of compassion. I know how much you've suffered, and I'm going to give you many consolations. Jesus is going to comfort his little remnant with many consolations. The Lord is going to make it good for us. Hallelujah. And then Job 8, verse 7, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end will greatly increase. Inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. Though thy beginning was small, that word is mitzar in Hebrew. It means petty, small in size, small in number. It comes from the root word sa'ar, and it means to be little, to be ignoble, to be brought low, a very little one. Though your beginning was very small, your latter end shall be greatly increased. And that word for greatly is me'od. And it means vehemently, with great intensity, with force, very great abundance, exceedingly good, louder and louder. So much so, and very quickly, with very much abundance, with muchness, and with huge force, God is going to greatly increase you. And the word for increase is sagath, and it means to enlarge, to be lifted up, and to be increased. You know, pictures of what does this look like? This looks like Joseph in Egypt standing before Pharaoh. This is David being transitioned from a little shepherd boy to a king marching into Jerusalem. This is his remnant. You know, today we're unseen, we're unknown. The church doesn't even know we exist. We're invisible. And, you know, a lot of us have been kicked out of churches, you know, more than once. And We were thrown out, just sort of like the way Jesus got thrown out of his synagogue in Nazareth. He wanted no part of us. We weren't worthy of being a member. They counted us afflicted of God, and they considered us as insignificant. And so we were. But the Lord is about to make the remnant very significant. Don't be afraid. Only repent and believe. I want to read a verse from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. And this is the same word for that your ending shall be greatly increased. Similar to how great the Lord is, God's about to go big in the lives of his remnant. He's going to take these people that were afflicted and broken and rejected and hated by the world, rejected by the church, and he is going to increase them with his greatness. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. So too, the anointed ones will be clothed with his honor, his majesty. The scripture talks about how the people, the nations, will even be able to recognize the anointed remnant, and they will say, these are the holy people. These are the people of God who've been sealed unto this hour. Very great. Meod Sagah. Jeremiah used the same word when he was shown a basket of figs, and the Lord said to Jeremiah, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, I see figs. I see good figs, and they're very good. And I see evil, very evil figs. They can't be eaten. They're so evil. They are very evil and very good. And that's the people of today. The anointed remnant or the handful of corn, and they're good. They're first ripe. They're the first fruits offering. They're that handful of corn raised up in the temple. And then the people that are walking in compromise, they're very evil today. Behind the facade, behind covers, in the cover of darkness, there's an evil that is now taking over humanity. You either come out from it, you repent of it, and you be delivered and cleansed from it, or if you compromise with it, you will be converted to it. And people are going to become like the gods that they serve. The remnant is going to receive the glory of God. We're going to see, receive the healing and the anointing and the power to walk in holiness and purity. And those who choose to stay in the place of compromise, they're going to be defiled by the filth that's going to come out of the abyss. And they will become like the figs that are very evil. And they're so evil that they're good for nothing other than to be thrown out. Hallelujah. Then shall the righteous flourish like the palm tree, and they shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. And that word for flourish is parach. It's similar to paran, to break forth, the separating of the righteous from the common. And it means to break forth as a bud, to spring forth out of the earth on a day of clear shining, on a day without clouds. And the righteous will flourish and spring forth, and they're pictured as a palm tree. And that palm tree, it's the word tamar, and it means to stand upright, to stand righteous. It's a picture of righteousness. And it's also the picture from the temple, the living temple. And Ezekiel 41, 19, we read, on the walls of the temple was the face of a man looking towards a palm tree on one side and the face of a lion towards the palm tree on the other. And it was throughout the entire house, round about, from the ground until above the doors were there cherubims and palm trees made on the walls of the temple. And this is a picture of our nature being transformed by the Lion of Judah, who's come now to dwell not just with his people, but within his remnant people. Hallelujah. And this is what we have before us, brothers and sisters. But at the same time, not everyone is going to come. Not everyone's willing to pay the price. You have to stop sinning now. You know, for some people, that's a big deal. For others, they're crying out, finally, Lord, totally deliver me. I don't ever want to sin again. But others are still in love with their sin. They may choose to yet hide their idols within. You know, to them, I just want to share briefly from Ezekiel chapter 22. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge this bloody city? Yes, indeed, we shall judge. Judgment shall be given unto the righteous. This honor have all his saints to execute the judgment written, Psalm 149. Yea, you shall show her all her abominations when they say to you, Thus saith the Lord God, the city sheds blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and makes idols against herself to defile herself. And boy, isn't that where we're at in this wicked land? The shedding of blood has reached an unprecedented level. The idolatry, the perversion, the wickedness is without restraint. And this land has been defiled. Thou hast become guilty in thy blood. Verse 4, Ezekiel 22. America is guilty in the blood that has been shed. The blood that's been shed all over the earth. Blood of the innocent shed all over this land. And you've defiled yourself with your idols that you've made. And you've caused the days of your judgment to draw near. And you've come unto the end of thy years. Therefore, I have made you a reproach unto the heathen and a mockery of all countries. And even today, this is being fulfilled. You listen to leaders in Russia talk about the laughing stock that is the perversions of the United States. They don't even know the meaning of the word woman. They engage in all kinds of depravity as if it's good. And the world looks on and just shakes their head. Our nation's been defiled. It's being humbled before the earth. Its skirts are being lifted. God's showing the nations the reasons why his judgment is about to come forth. You have despised my holy things, and you've profaned my holy days. And the people of this nation, they despise the word of God, which is the holy scriptures of truth. They despise the name of our Lord. They despise the truth of our kingdom and our covenant of life. They've made a covenant with death, and with hell they are in agreement. But it's a covenant of lies, and it will not cover them at all. In the day of indignation, it'll be set ablaze, and they'll burn right with it. You've despised my holy things. And in you are men that carry tales, who shed blood. And in you are those that eat in the high places of false religion upon the mountains. And in the midst of you are those who commit lewd and immoral acts. And that word for carry tales is rakil. It means a scandalmongerer, one who goes traveling about, a slanderer, carrying gossip, carrying tales. And you know, is that not just an epidemic inside the compromised churches? You know,
Absolutely.
love can see, amen, Frank. Absolutely. The scripture tells us love conceals a matter. You know, these people actually, they're full of hatred. They love the bad news. Jeremiah 9, verses 4 to 6. Take heed, every one of you, of your neighbor. Take heed. Every one of his neighbor, and trust not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. That word for take heed is shamar, and it actually means to hedge yourself in with thorns, to guard and protect yourself from your neighbors, to be circumspect, to beware, to mark and observe. and save yourselves, because surely they lay wait for men. Take heed and protect yourself from your neighbors. Trust not in any brother until they've proven to you they can be trusted. And that takes quite a long time to establish. For virtually every brother will utterly supplant. And that word is achab, and it means to lie in wait and attack from behind, to seize by your heel, to circumvent, to trip you up, to assail you insidiously. And literally, this is an attack. Every neighbor will deceive and supplant. You know, then now there's a remnant that's walking with God that doesn't walk like Satan. The remnant is going to become more and more purified, and they're going to walk more and more the way the Lord would walk. The Lord never did any of these things. This is the work of the devil. And the people that continue in these slandering sins, these are sins of death. They're trying to destroy other people through their accusations, through their shame. And it actually is an assault on the very covenant of truth, especially when they bring false witness as part of their attack. They lie in wait and they want to assail you. It means to attack you with violence, to throw fists or words, to abuse, to ridicule, to destroy. And insidiously, they assail you insidiously. It means slowly and secretly, causing serious harm without being noticed. This is being done behind your back. They create rumors, slanders designed to destroy one another. And this is the work of the serpent, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The people that walk in this spirit are not in the anointing. Now, some of them will be corrected and rebuked of the Lord and will repent and will live. Others will die in these sins, and they will die and go to hell. And, you know, it's a hard thing for us to recognize or accept. But Jesus told us many will seek to enter the kingdom through the wide road, which leads to destruction. For straight is the way, and narrow is the door that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. And the word for many, it means the vast majority. It's polis in the Greek. It would be like 97%. So out of 100 people that profess to be saved, oh yeah, brother, I'm born again. 97 of these people, on average, are not walking in the absolute truth, which is the requirement of the straight and narrow way. They're lying to themselves before they ever lie to you. And the reason they believe their lies is they believe their words and they close their eye to their deeds. It's like the alcoholic that is still secretly drinking, or any addictive sin disorder that the person is still secretly committing the sin. And if confronted, they'll say, well, I quit drinking 6 months ago. Well, that's true. 6 months ago, they did say they were going to quit drinking, and they've quit every day since then, too, after they got drunk. But in their mind, they're telling you the truth that they quit. I quit that pornography channel 6 months ago. Been back again every day, but I did quit it 6 months ago. I quit it yesterday, too. I quit every day. You know, I'm going to quit it tomorrow, but somehow tomorrow never comes. And it's insidious that these people actually deceive themselves, thinking themselves saved. On that day, they're going to awaken and they're going to be crying out, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. What do you mean you don't know us? Ezekiel 22, verse 14, can your heart endure? Or can your hands be strong in the day that I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken it. I am about to do it, says the Holy One. And I'm going to scatter these people among the heathen. I'll consume thy filthiness out of thee. God's about to bring the fire, people. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross. And you could today, everywhere in these prophetic writings where, you know, where it's talking about Israel, you could also write the church, because these words are being fulfilled yet again to the Jew first, to Israel first, and now to the Gentile nations. Son of man, the house of the churches of America have become dross. They're corrupted. It's reprobate silver. They're brass, tin, and iron, and lead in the midst of a furnace. They're even the dross, you know, they're the black soot that contaminates silver. Because all of you have become dross. How many of them? All of them. All coal. All of them in these gatherings. Behold, because all of you have become corrupted, I will gather you together as they gather silver and brass into the midst of a furnace, and I'm going to blow fire upon you and melt you. So I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there in the furnace, and I will melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so you shall melt in the midst of the fire that I'm about to kindle. And you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto this nation, America, this is a land that is not cleansed, nor has it been rained upon in the day of indignation. No, a drought is coming. Before the fires come, there'll be a drought to make sure the kindling is dry. There's a conspiracy among the prophets in this nation. And the conspiracy is that they all confirm each other's false words so that the people would think, well, the word's been confirmed. All the lying prophets have said the same thing. All 400 prophets of Baal have told us the same lie. That's not confirmation, brothers and sisters. That's just the error of redundant false data, the error of redundant lies. And that's going on in the false prophetic movement today. Jesus warned us many false prophets would come. Nowhere did he ever say many true prophets would come. Actually, if you want to take the scriptures literally, the scriptures say two prophets are coming. Two witnesses whose testimony is true. They are the true witnesses, and they are the two witnesses, and they are the only prophets referred to in scripture in this time. Now, I am not talking about the gift of prophecy. I am talking about the office of a prophet, and they are different. And we don't have time in this study to go deep into that, but search that out for yourself in the scriptures. The gift of prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit that a believer can operate in. That does not mean they've been promoted to the office of a prophet, nor does it mean they read everybody's mail 24/7. Within the false prophetic movement, they never shut up. You know, and they've got pink hair, and, you know, they claim they visit heaven every day. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and there's no cry for repentance. There's no weeping for the children being murdered. There's no...
They're the only prophets that never suffer, is the new wave of prophets. Everything's great. It's so opposite of every prophet in the Bible.
Right, but they do have the PayPal. They got the PayPal tab.
That's what they were missing in the Old Testament, yes.
You know, and that's almost sort of a test right there, brothers and sisters. You go on somebody's website, and you know they've come to teach the word of God, and I'm not saying that people shouldn't take an offering or whatever, but I'm just saying, you know what? If they got a PayPal tab, they're asking you for an offering. They want your money. You know, that's just one more thing to pray about and ask the Lord, you know, is this a legitimate ministry? Or is the money corrupting them? I remember, you know, the first time I didn't take an offering. I mean, an offering was given to me. I was speaking to a small Bible study, like a home fellowship group. And, you know, they invited me and asked me, would you please come and, share your testimony? So I did. And when I was done, they took up an offering and they gave it to me. And they're like, we took an offering and we want you to take it. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? No, this is for you. And they gave me $3. And I thought, wow, I could see how this could corrupt the word of God. Now, $3 isn't going to corrupt anybody, but that's where it starts. And I'm like, I really thank you so much. I don't want the offering. And they're like, no, please take it. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with $3? They're like, go to Starbucks and get a cup of coffee. I'm like, okay. So I did. But I don't make a point of soliciting for money. And neither does Frank. And we're not condemning ministries that ask you to pray about supporting them. We're just cautioning you. It's one of the signs because the false prophets definitely have come for the cash. They've come for the glory, and it's all about exalting themselves. And there's a conspiracy among them. They affirm one another's words. And the priests, the pastors have violated my law. They profaned the holy things of God. They make no difference between the holy and the profane, nor do they show a difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from God's word. And the princes, the leaders, the elders, they're in the midst of this nation and in the midst of these false churches, like ravening wolves, shedding blood. I mean, they destroy people, just out of ego. I've seen it. Cross their authority, question their rule, and they don't care how much damage they do. They destroy souls to get dishonest gain. People of the land have used oppression. They've exercised robbery. They've vexed the poor. They oppress the stranger. And I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge and to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy this nation. And I found none. Therefore, I will pour out my indignation upon them. I will consume them in the fire of my wrath. In their own way, I will recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to become the people who set our hearts to stand in the gap early, seek God's face early, pray and ask the Lord to search our hearts. We need to be the people that challenge ourselves. Because you know what? You can lie to yourself and not even know you've done it. I'm serious. The Lord showed me areas where I had lied to myself and didn't know I was lying. I'd lied to other people. I didn't know that I had lied. That's how serious this sin sickness is. But now I know. God told me. And once you see it, you're like, okay, once again, the Lord is correct. Well, then what do? We repent.
Amen.
We make restitution. We tell the truth instead of the lie. We ask for forgiveness for the people that have been injured, and we restore to them whatever we can to make it right. That's what we do. If you've been out slandering people, if you've been out making false accusations, those are sins of death, folks. You need to repent of that. You need to go back to those people and say, I need to repent. I lied. I ask you to forgive me. This is the truth. I'm going to make this right by you. And that's what you do when you're serious about repentance, or you just continue to hide your sin until the fire comes, and then you're going to melt with your sin in not too many days. Well, praise God. That's just the beginning of what I think are going to be some messages to equip us on what to do. And, this is the way, walk therein. You guys, if we want to avoid melting in the fire that's coming, and this is literal, by the way. This fire that's coming, it's going to be 5 million degrees in the shade. 80% of the fatalities are going to die from severe burns, but only one side of their body is going to be burned, and they don't die immediately. It could take up to 2 weeks to die from the dehydration, from the burns that have occurred from the nuclear war that is about to be fought. So, this concept of being melted and burned, it's not a metaphor. It's real. And And it, you know, God's judgment's real, hell is real, and there's a large number of people who think they're Christians. And you know, one of the hallmarks of these, I call them the wide roaders, they are so convinced they're right about everything. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're unteachable, they're unreachable, they're arrogant, and they're wrong about everything. Their spirit is wrong, their doctrines are wrong, their witness is wrong, their life is wrong. But they're so deceived in their pride that they've projected all of their evil onto somebody else, something else, and they refuse to see anything. They're walking through life with their eyes closed. They're blind. Sometimes the blind guides are the blind. Sometimes they're the blind that are being led. But they shall all soon fall into the ditch, and that ditch is going to burn. But for the righteous, the admonition is we need to begin to pray early. Set your alarm, you guys. I mean, you know, if you can, look, if you got to get up by 7 o'clock to get ready for work, then set the alarm at 6 or, you know, 6:30, whatever you can do. Even 5 minutes is better than nothing. Make the decision. I heard clearly after the Lord
Amen.
showed me this message in Job, and that he was literally saying, if you will seek God early and the first thing in your day, the Lord is going to turn everything around in your life. And I can tell you, it works. What God is saying is true. He honors this word. You make your prayer time the first priority in your life, and God is going to make miracles happen for you. And as I was pulling this together, as I was seeing, you know, looking deep into these words and realizing how powerful this message was, and I literally heard the Lord say, this is the way, walk therein. This is a
Amen.
commandment. This is the first of a what I think is going to be a series of emergency action messages. If you are not praying daily, you need to start. If you're not praying first thing, I strongly suggest you take God at his word and find a way to get up early. Set your alarm clock. You know, you'll get in the habit of going to bed a little early. Turn off the TV. Turn off the entertainment. Turn off whatever you're doing in the evening. Stop doing it so much. Go to bed early and get up early to discipline yourself to get up early and seek the Lord while he may yet be found,
Amen.
as he is coming on the bright light of the early morning dawn to greet a remnant that have prepared their hearts to see him. Hallelujah.
Amen. And folks, I would just like to say that if this was good enough for Jesus to do, it's good enough for us to do. This message is the message in Isaiah where the very word of God says, this is what Jesus did in this earth. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Jesus was sustained by his heavenly Father, and he did this morning by morning. He wasn't rebellious. I mean, he didn't refuse. He took that time literally. Brother, this is what our Lord and Savior did. Thank you for reminding. I mean, this is like 101 Christianity.
This is where it begins if you're a
Yeah.
disciple.
And you know how often we miss, folks, the easiest. God never made this hard. We've made it hard. We've made it extremely difficult. The Lord's like, what Benjamin's saying, get alone with him and let him take care of your life.
Well, you know, we all find time for the things that are important to us.
Of course.
Everybody finds time to eat. You know, mostly 3 times a day. Some of you guys find time to eat more than 3 times a day. Some people never stop finding time to eat. Okay, well, that's all in error. We call that gluttony. You need to repent of it, bind it, cast it out, and get discipled. You know, stop eating when the sun goes down, you guys. Okay, that's just the rule to detoxify and sanctify your vessel. You turn off that food and, you know, stop eating poison and start eating healthy so that your body can be cleansed and not further polluted, but that's a message for another day. But in all seriousness, what we choose to invest our time in tells us what we really love and value the most. And God has asked us for a first fruit offering. Folks, it's great to, bring an offering in terms of help and money, whatever, property, whatever. But the most important, the most valuable thing that we have is time. And I got news for you. We don't have a whole lot of it left. We better stop wasting it listening to the nonsense of Babylon. And we better start making a priority out of seeking the face of our God. Because, brothers and sisters, when this thing goes off, okay, whether this thing blows up this summer and we're in the crisis and the chaos by fall, or whether, it stretches out even one more year, it doesn't matter. Time's flying. It's already March. We're already in spring, my friends. The days are upon us. If we don't make a priority of seeking the Lord first thing now, when are you going to do it? After the nukes go off? When the soldiers are banging on your front door? It'll be too late. You need to cultivate this time because it grows. At first it'll be hard for you to pray for 5 or 10 minutes. Then you'll get to where you can pray for an hour. And then if you just continue to seek his face with a pure heart, you'll get to the point where you're like, I can't wait to get home to pray. And instead of setting the clock at 6 a.m., your alarm will be at 5, and then maybe it'll be at 4, because you'll decide you need more than an hour with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's where the equipping is going to come in terms of, getting clear, a clear vision, a clear channel of communication to where you can hear the Lord without tensing up, without clenching in your spirit. You almost close your ears as he's trying to speak to you because you're not used to opening your heart and listening in spirit. This is a paramount issue. If you want to be among the remnant that's going to survive the days that are ahead, you need to be making commitment to seek God first thing every morning. In Jesus' name, I pray this message blessed you abundantly, and thanks for listening. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, folks. I'm here with you on this message tonight, taking it seriously, taking it to heart. Let's not, there's always an excuse, especially when people talk about dieting. I'm going to start next week, next Monday. Folks, don't. You know when you can start? Tomorrow morning. Right away. It's not too late. Start now. Don't prolong it. You will never regret spending time with the Lord. You may regret not spending time with him. You will regret that. But folks, God only is here to bless and to help and to deliver and set us free from that which binds us. Brother, thank you so much. This is Brother Frank and Brother Benjamin on the Remnant Call saying good night and shalom.
Trumpet inside.